Morning. We'll remind everybody there is no children's church today, so y'all get to sit out here and listen to me and Brother Michael's over here. Good to have our friends and visitors from the Gideons. So I'm going to ask something I very seldom do, probably never have done here, but I want to ask for a show of hands this morning. How many wants to go to heaven? All right. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Now let me ask you another question. How many's ever been there? All right. So, you know, remembering back on a old Western. Well, actually, it wasn't an old Western. It's fairly new. Mr. Robert Duvall made several years ago, but he used a line in his Western during the funeral services that he kind of put the old Western swing to it. He said, we're all pilgrims in this life. From the sweet grass to the packing house, we travel between the eternities. So even the movie actors from Hollywood acknowledged that this is a journey. Brother Frizzell, we're on a journey to heaven. Now, for those that have done, you know, a little bit of traveling back before all this new technology that I so dearly love came along, if you were going somewhere that you've never been before, how did you get there? Used a map. Amen. And for all you tech heads now, you ain't going to find it on GPS. Because guess what? This past week, I about burned up a $500 piece of equipment proving that. It ain't on GPS. You've got to find it for yourself. You've got to have the map. And here we go. God has provided us a way. And I've read a lot of maps over the years. Been to, Brother Chip, been just about every state in this country. And then some. Yeah. We won't get into that this morning, but you don't mess around and end up on the wrong side of the border in some places by accident. That's not fun. But anyway, over the course of the years in my job, I have been all over this United States, and you know, sad to say that most of those years traveling all over the United States were in sort of what I would call my darker years. But anyway, I've spent many, many nights in different hotels and motels across this country. And you're away from home. You're away from friends and family. Got four walls. Most of the time there's nothing on TV that's going to interest you. You've got your mind on home. But home's 6,000, 8,000 miles away. But thank God for a group of individuals that started out as a little group. The thing about it is, if you do it for God, when you start out, it might be a little group, but it's going to grow. That saw a need, saw that people were lost and dying without God. And so, you know, all those nights, sitting alone and lonely. Rather been with my wife, rather been with my children, but I am stuck off out there in the middle of nowhere. But I don't think I've been to but two motels in all my travel that didn't have a Gideon Bible. Now, we're blessed. I've known several people over the years, talked to them, that be in pretty bad shape today if it hadn't been for a Gideon Bible. But I'm not the Gideon. So, Brother Mike Daniels, come on up. I'm going to give this crowd to you.
Good morning, okay. Church. Start by asking a question. Where do you go get your groceries? Some Walmart, Save-A-Lot, maybe it's Big Star. Well, I'll tell you about a lady that lived in Nicaragua. She had, I think it was five children. Well, she went to get her groceries in what we would call the Henderson County dump. She was at the dump seeking food for her children. We don't think of, when we need to get food, we don't think of going to the landfill to get our food. But I'm starting to say, we don't realize how blessed we are. There's a lot of people in a lot of countries that don't have the things that we have. Well, she found food in that dump. She found this little testament. It's a Spanish testament. And some may say, well, that's not food. It's the most important food that we could ever get. And without the Word of God, what is our life? Where would we be? If the early disciples had just let it be, where would we be today? We would all be lost and headed straight to hell. If it wasn't for the Word of God that was passed down through generation after generation. This one little Bible, somebody gave $1.25 to buy one Bible. This one Bible has two names in it that has given their life to Christ over somebody's given $1.25. You know, as my brother just said, when you think of Gideons, you think of maybe Bibles and hotels. But the Gideons is so much more than that. On April 17th, 2015, I had the opportunity to go to Ecuador on an international scripture blitz with 10 other Gideons from four other countries. Our goal was to distribute over 200,000 copies of God's Word in a period of 5 days. I was a little intimidated. I'd been to New York City a couple of times and passed out God's Word. But 200,000 copies of God's Word in 5 days, that's a pretty big task. So when the Gideons, when we travel, we'll take up a love offering at the end of this service. None of the money that you're going to give goes for me to travel to Ecuador or to New York City or to anywhere else. I do that out of my own pocket. I pay for my own airline ticket. I pay for my own meals. I pay for my own hotel. But when we travel, I have to take vacation to do that. So I took vacation on this particular event to go to Ecuador. And I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I like to look, okay, what's the weather going to be like? I'm, you know, praying for whether I'm going to the beach or whether I'm going to Ecuador. I'm praying for sunshine and 70 degrees, and I want things to be nice. Well, unfortunately, about a week before I went, I got to looking at the weather, and they wasn't calling for sunshine. Matter of fact, they were calling for 80% chance of rain the whole 5 days I was going to be there. When we pass out Bibles, we pass it out as I'm dressed today with a jacket and a tie. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be passing out Bibles. I'm going to have all these Bibles. How am I going to keep them dry? How am I going to, I'm going to be standing in the rain. I'm going to be like an old wet dog by the end of the week, you know, just soaking wet. So we get there, did a couple of church services the Sunday morning. Some countries that we go into have the ability to raise their own money for their Bibles. Other countries don't. We did a couple church services that morning, similar to this, but you know, when you're speaking to a country in another language, it's you have an interpreter, so you say a little and then they translate, and you say a little and they translate. So you can only cover about a half of what you would normally cover. Well, in this particular, we did two services. Then that afternoon, we went over to see the Bibles where they were at to load our cars up for the next morning to start our distribution. Well, when we did so, I find out that the Gideon and the interpreter that I'm riding with, they've got a Toyota Corolla. And I'm thinking, wow, Toyota Corolla, I'm a pretty big guy, and Toyota Corolla is a pretty small car. And now I'm thinking, okay, I got, you know, if you take 200,000 divided by 10 teams, that says we all got to do 10,000. Got to do that in 5 days. So you can do the math to see where we need to be. So we pack up the Bibles in the car and we start our trip. And I, for at least the first half of the day, we rode on the bumpers that, you know, I don't know if you know what that is, but when your car is squatted and you're out of shocks, you're riding on the bumpers everywhere we went. So you'd hit a little bump, you'd come off the bumpers and then right back on the bumpers. And so we went to the first school, and I remember getting there. We went down on the lower section of the school, passed out. First, we stopped at the principal's office, called a director in Ecuador. They gave us permission to go door to door to each of the classrooms and pass out the Bibles and share a testimony of what God could do for them. So we did so. We'd done the lower section of school. And we went up to the top section of school, and I'll never forget, we're coming back to the car, we stopped to the director and said, you know, thank you for letting us come and give out the Bibles to the children. And I looked down on the playground, and there were some children down there playing soccer, football, and it's what, you know, they call it in Ecuador. We would call it soccer here. But so I grabbed some Bibles and run down on the field. I want to make sure that they had gotten their Bible as well. I was worried they didn't get one. Well, what I saw when I got there was the part that, to this testimony. There was a young boy, probably 10 years old, pacing back and forth with this new Bible that I'd just give him not 5 minutes, 15 minutes earlier. And all around him, there's some benches. And there was a whole group of children with their Bibles. And they were having church right there on the playground. I don't know about you, but when I was that age and I had time for kickball or whatever it was, I wouldn't have been reading my Bible. But they were. You know, that Bible that I'd just give them may be the only book that they're, not just them, but their whole family. It may be the only book their whole family has. Another place we went, I can't speak Spanish. I know just a couple of Spanish words. One of them is no. I kind of get that one. It's same both in Spanish and in English. So I kind of started picking up on things as we would go to the director's office. Everywhere we would go, we'd start off and say, you know, we're with the Gideons and we're here. We'd like to distribute Bibles to your children in this classes, and I'd like to give everyone their own personal copy. It's a free gift. And most of the places we went, we got told no. Government doesn't allow it. It's, you know, government property of the schools. We couldn't pass it out. So our method of delivery was, okay, if you say no, we'll just wait till you get out of school and we'll stand on the sidewalk and give you one when you come out. So we did that time and time again. I remember this one group that we went to, one school we went to, director said no. He said, I really wish that I could let you, because our children need these Bibles. They need the scriptures. He said, they probably don't have a Bible in their home. He said, but if you'll come back at 12:30, those children are going to get out. There's going to be 1,300 kids that are going to come storming through those gates. And if you'll be standing right there on the sidewalk, I promise you they're going to want what you've got to give. So we did. We went and stood outside. We got, I think it was 1,500 copies of God's Word. We opened up the cases. They come 100 to a case. They come wrapped, 5 stacked together with a little paper wrap around them, holding them. So we broke all the paper wraps where you could get quick to distribute them. Threw all of our trash away. We were ready. Sure enough, I heard a little tap on the gate. Here's that director. He said, "Here they come." And I promise you, if I was standing at Walmart in the parking lot here in Lexington, saying, $100 bills, get your $100 bills, you would not have seen the excitement that I saw in those children's eyes when they came through that gate and they saw us standing there to give them a copy of God's Word. I would line Bibles up on my arm, and I felt kind of like I've not been to Vegas, but I felt kind of like maybe what a Vegas card shark would do. I was flipping them out with both thumbs, flipping out Bibles two at a time. And when I'd run out, I'd have to bend down to get more Bibles. I'd squat and get in the box, and they would be pushing, trying to get their Bible. They'd be pushing, and it'd just keep me pushed down on the ground. So I would take Bibles and hold it up over my head, and they would take some, and then when they moved back, then I could get back to my feet. And then I would start passing out Bibles again. And that went on for, I don't know, 10 minutes probably. Those children were scared to death that we were going to run out and they weren't going to get their Bible. I tell you, it's touching when you see a young girl or a young boy come up to you and say, "Me, Mommy? Papa?" Asking for a Bible for their mother or their father. You or I, we've got Bibles. I can't count the number of Bibles I have in my house. I've got it on my phone, it's on my iPad, on my computer. We're blessed. Most of the countries where we go and distribute God's Word, they don't have the same privileges, the same blessings that we have. My son is 15, and seeing a young boy or a young girl come up and ask you for a copy of God's Word for their mom or their dad, I don't know that if I didn't have a Bible, I don't know that my son would do that for me. That means a lot. The need is great. This church has given year over year, I think it was $1,200, I believe, over the last 3 years that's been given. When you look at the number of people that are touched by what the generous offerings that this church gives, I'm just here to tell you that please don't think for a second, whether you give a dollar, whether you give 50 cents, or whether you give $1,000, just know that the money that you're giving is going to an outstanding cause. People are coming to know Christ through a lot of times getting God's Word that they may not ever get any other time. They may not have their own copy. It's just such a blessing to be able to go and pass out God's Word and share what God's doing in my own life. It's made me a better Christian as a result of being a part of the Gideon ministry. And there may be a man here today thinking, "I'd like to know more about the Gideons. We need more Gideons. We need more Gideons to participate in local activities." We still give out every year. We still go to the fifth grade classes all across Henderson County and give every fifth grade student the option of getting a Bible. That's not been taken away yet. It may in future times, if we don't stand up for what we believe, that may be taken away, but it's still an option today. We still have the opportunity to give to all the fifth grades. We still go to every hotel in the community and check to make sure that the Bibles are fresh and that there's a good copy of God's Word there. I want to read a verse of Scripture. I remember when I first got to Ecuador, I did the devotion on Thursday morning. comes from Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. It's one of my favorite parables of the Bible because it talks about the sower. And that's what God's called each of us to be, is a sower. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who hath ears, let him hear." So I did that devotion on Thursday morning. Every morning, our trip, we would get up each morning, probably 4 a.m. We would meet at 5 for a time of prayer and a short devotion. And then it was off to wherever we were going for that day to distribute. One particular day, I remember going to this school. We drove probably two hours up into the mountains. I think it was a Wednesday. We get to this little school. We go into the director's office and we share that, you know, we're with the Gideons. We would like to give each of the children a copy of God's Word. And my Spanish kicked in. I knew exactly what he said. No, we can't do it. I'm thinking, okay, it's Wednesday. I'm pretty quick study. I know what the drill is. We're just going to come back this afternoon and we'll get them anyway. So we're walking out to the car and I remember saying something to the translator. I said, so we'll just come back this afternoon, right? And they said, no, Mike, we can't. I'm like, what do you mean we can't? There's 500 kids in this school. We don't come back, they're not going to get a Bible. She said, it's too far. We have a schedule. We got to keep up with. If we don't stay on schedule, we're going to get behind and we won't get to the other children that we need to visit and give a Bible. My heart just sunk. I was just floored that, you know, we came up here and the need is there, a little small village community and the mountains of Ecuador, and I was like, there's got to be some other. And about that time, I remember my translator saying, hey, Mike, there's some kids on the street down there. Grab a case of Bibles and run back up there. So I ran back up there with a case of Bibles, and I started passing out Bibles to the children standing on the street. And one Bible came, and then two, and then three, and then one case became two cases, became three cases, became four. And finally, I gave out five cases of Bibles, 500 Testaments, which was exactly how many children were in that school. And as the last few kids were coming to the gate, I saw how or why. There was a lady standing in the back of the room when the director was telling us no. I don't know if she was a teacher. I don't know if she's assistant principal. She might have been a clerk. She may have been a janitor. I don't know what she was. But I know who she was. She was God's messenger that day because she went classroom to classroom and pulled those children to the sidewalk. And I gave every one of those children a copy of God's Word because of her obedience, of her going out of her way to pull those children in and give. I got to hand each of those children a copy of God's Word. The seeds got planted. Maybe that's you or I. What do we do in that situation? You've heard me say that I got told no most of the schools I went. So she put her job, I would say, on the line by doing what she did. What about you or I in our daily walk, in our daily? Are we willing to step out on the edge and do what God would call us to do, do what Christ would tell us to do? Or are we so focused on, oh, I don't want to get in trouble, or I don't want to offend somebody? Or church, the default is already decided. If a person doesn't choose Jesus, if he doesn't choose the free gift that Christ has given us by going to the cross, dying, shedding his blood, if we don't choose that gift, ask for his forgiveness, repent of our sins, and be baptized, if we don't do that, the default is already there. You don't get a, there is no plan C. I talked about looking at the weather. I talked about 80% chance of rain. So on Friday morning, Brother Horace Gideon from States also was with us on this trip. He said, I'm going to do my devotion. And he gave the same parable, but he gave a different book. Instead of Matthew, he read out of Luke, verses 5 through 8. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away. And I want you to take hold of these next words, because it lacked moisture. Because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell upon a good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears, let him hear. Church, this is the part that broke my heart. He said, because it lacked moisture. He looked out across. There was probably 50 of us in the room. He looked out across us and he challenged us. He said, when is the last time any of you shed a single tear over someone that's lost, dying, and going to hell? It hit me right there. I pray daily. I read my Bible daily. I pray for lost people daily. My heart had not been burdened enough that I had shed a tear over somebody that was lost. Church, I hope I'm speaking to you today. I pray, Brother Danny and myself, and there's about 6 of us meet every Saturday morning for a time of prayer. We read Scripture and we pray for our churches and our community. And I pray every Saturday morning that I pray one day while I'm still on this earth that Henderson County will be a county that every person that lives here is a Christian, saved, going to heaven, and living like a Christian. What would that world, what would this county look like if we as a body of believers, if this county, if everyone in this county lived for Jesus? I think it would be a whole different place. Because it lacked moisture. I think as God's people, we need to be burdened for the lost. I think we need to be burdened to be witnessing to those around us, to share in the gospel. I'm thankful that a Tuesday night in East Tennessee on a plant floor that somebody was burdened for me. Because I was 30 years old. Had a baby on the way. And lost and dying, headed straight for hell. And somebody was burdened for me at work, on a floor, and shared the gospel with me. And I knelt down on that floor and gave my life to Christ and came back to Henderson County and found a local church and was baptized and have that part right now. I'm telling you, we need to be burdened. There's a lot of lost people in our community. Well, I told you about 80% chance of rain. How much do you think it rained in those 5 days? Zero. You know, I serve a God that decides when it rains and when it doesn't. And the Weather Channel has not outsmarted him yet. So before I left, I'm thinking, I'm like doubting Thomas. I'm like, first off, I'm like, why? Why, God? I mean, why do you, I'm obedient to go. I'm spending the money to go. I'm doing what you tell me I need to do. Now you're going to let it rain every day. So it doesn't rain a drop. End of the week, Friday we finish up. We delivered 210,000 copies of God's Word in 5 days. Over 200 people made a profession of faith, stepping into going to where they could join a local church and go through believer's baptism. Just to say what it's like to experience the Holy Spirit moving upon a community and what happened in that week, I can't stand here today and give you what happened. It's mind-boggling. At the end of that week, we had a pastor's banquet and was just a great time of celebration. Well, Saturday, we were coming home Saturday night, but it was a red-eye flight home, and our translator said, well, Mike, we'd like to carry you out and show you around town, give you a little, let you get some trinkets for your family and whatnot. I'm like, great, great. So we did so. I remember as we were driving into this little town, I'm like, man, it looks awful dark. It's like the clouds are coming in. Next thing I know is my grandmother used to say, it came a gully washer. I mean, it came a flood. So I was thinking, well, maybe 80% chance of rain doesn't mean the same thing in Ambato, Ecuador, as it does in Lexington, Tennessee. But on Saturday, God showed me that 80% chance of rain without Him holding it back means exactly what it means here in Lexington, Tennessee. It means it's going to rain. God held back the rain, and all I could think of when I was watching the wiper blades go back and forth was God was providing moisture for the scriptures that we had just planted, the word that we had just sown. So when I think of the word, the parable of the sower, I think of that trip and what that means to me. We're all called to be sowers. You may not have the opportunity to go to Ecuador, but you're going to run into somebody this week at Walmart or at work or at school. And we're all called to be sowers. It's not your pastor's job to... Your pastor and your elders, they're to build us up and teach us the ways, and then we're to go and do the work. But are we doing our part? Each of you have been given in different ways. You may say, well, Mike, I don't have $1.25. Okay, can you pray? Can you pray over one of the scriptures that's going to go into someone, a young person, typically a young person's hands? Can you pray for one of those scriptures that the Word doesn't... I mean, the Bible says that His Word will not return void. Pray for somebody that's going to be probably on foreign soil right now as we speak, getting ready to pass out God's Word. And then if you are to a position to where that you can give, I would challenge you. Give to where... Make it count. Make it... Stretch yourself. I know I buy several cases of Bibles every year. How many times do we give flowers or cards or something? Use the Gideon card. When you give somebody, if they're graduating high school, give a Gideon card and put a Bible out there in someone's name. There's many ways to give. I would just challenge you to do what God lays on your heart. Your church has been faithful to allow us to come speak each year, and we're grateful for that here in Henderson County. But most importantly, I encourage you, church, to be sowers of the Word. I really want to see this county be the first county anywhere around where everybody is a believer in Jesus Christ. And that's up to all of us. So I thank you for your time and attentiveness. I'd like to pray for us, and then we'll move to the next step. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for this church and their vision that they have to partner with the Gideons. And Lord, sending Bibles all throughout the world. Lord, that Lord, we don't know how blessed we are. We take for granted so many things that you've blessed us with, Lord. And I just ask you now to burden our hearts for the people around the world that don't have the things that we have. Lord, we take that for granted, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with the Bibles that are going to be placed this week. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are away from home, away from their families. Lord, they're on foreign soil, sometimes in harm's way, Lord, doing what you've called us all to do, Lord. Help us as we go throughout our week and our day, Lord, to live lives that be pleasing to you. Lord, to speak the truth. Lord, when you present the opportunities to us, help us to be found faithful and delivering what you'd have us to deliver and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world that we live in. Lord, I ask for forgiveness of my many sins and failures, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take a moment and congratulate Michael and share with us this morning. Appreciate your powerful testimony. There's nothing like seeing the Word of God impact your life and you share it with others so that we can be inspired. There's nothing wrong with being inspired about sharing God's Word with people. And I want to read a scripture to you that was put on my heart just now. You know, we want everyone in this county to come to know Jesus Christ. We want them to be able to say, as it says in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save unless they believe in him? And how can they believe if they have never heard about him? And the Apostle Paul wanted to make it very clear it's important that the Word of God not just be handed out, not just be read, but be heard. And today we have an opportunity to partner with the Gideons in giving a love offering. The singers are going to come up, and here in just a moment we'll have our ushers come back up. But I want you to truthfully and prayerfully think about how much a dollar, would you say $1.25? $1.25. Come on, kids. What can you get for $1.25? A candy bar, a Bible, and guess what? What's going to be awesome for a kid who is starving to know God? And all you have to do is $1.25. Or more. But you do that between you and God. You do that in between where you think and you want to bless this ministry and bless what we do here in our partnership with them. So I encourage you and challenge you, church. How are we going to love on the Gideons today? How are we going to hashtag love on these men and women who take time out of their regular lives to go to places, local, thank you for sharing that, by the way, locally, but also beyond our borders, beyond our seas, because it is the mission of the church to make sure that the Word of God is able in somehow, in some way, to be put in every hand as much as possible. So at this time, will you pray with me as our ushers get ready to come back up and we take up a love offering? Father, we come before you and we ask God that you would touch our hearts right now and allow us the opportunity to be partners in the gospel, to see that some of the greatest words ever shared can reach someone's life, someone's heart. And Lord, I pray that whatever we are able to give, if we can give financially, or we can give in prayer, I pray, God, we do both. And that, God, you would just move and have your Holy Spirit do an amazing thing right now. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to clap, clap. We serve a living God. We should never be silent. Never let the Holy Spirit be quenched. Express yourself how you feel. Always. Right now, go ahead and have a seat for just a moment. And a couple of things I want to make you aware of as we get ready to head into our time of fellowship together. First of all, next Sunday is a very important Sunday as there's going to be an installation service of a new elder here at Lexington Christian Church. And Larry, if you'll just stand for just a moment where you're at. Last week, we asked everybody to give us some feedback and so forth about potentially Larry becoming an elder here at Lexington Christian Church. And I'm pleased to say and announce that it was unanimous that everyone here desires to see Larry Powers become one of the next elders here at Lexington Christian Church. So next Sunday, we will be having an installation service for Larry at the beginning of service. So please make sure you're here so you do not miss that service, okay? It's going to be right after our announcement time and prayer time. So make sure that you're here to be witness to a very special moment here at our church. So thank you, Larry, and we look forward to you partnering with us to see our church grow more and more. So the next thing is I want to share with you the next sermon series that we're going to be going into. And I think it's one that a lot of people that you might know might be very interested in. So go ahead, Doug, back it up there for us, and let's check this out. That's right. UFOs, the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, all the little things that you would consider what's called urban legends. Well, guess what? There's urban legends in the church as well. And we're going to be talking about several of these over the next few weeks in May. And I'm excited about this series and excited about making sure that we understand the truth about God's Word and really what it says, not what people think it says. So that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks and the next couple of sermons. So I hope you will invite a friend to come out and check that out. In the same time, we hope you also bring that friend so that we can love on them next week. I think it's going to be a great sermon series for the next couple of weeks we got going on. And then finally, I just want to continue to keep people in prayer. Always keep that prayer list up to date for us. Always let us know. You can call the church and let us know if there's any updates to people in prayer requests and so forth throughout the week. It doesn't have to happen necessarily on Sunday. So just as you go through the week and you're looking through that prayer list, we really encourage you, you know, take time out of the week. Take two or three people that you can pray for on our prayer list. And then down at the bottom, there's like different types of groups that you can be praying for also, like definitely our church, our first responders. Many people that serve in our community. Pray for our partners, like the Lexington Food Bank, like the Gideon's Association. Taking times to just lift those people in prayer, that is more rich than any kind of wealth you can ever have. And that's the power of prayer. And I truly, truly believe in that. And so, ladies, are we ready? Excellent. I love it when we can eat before 11:30. How's that sound, guys? Well, let's stand and let's have a word of prayer together. And again, I invite you to please invite someone for us to hashtag love on next Sunday. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day, and I thank you so much for how you are moving powerfully. Father, the media tries to put our minds in certain areas to think about and focus on in life. But ultimately, God, how you are moving in the lives of people and the lives of cities and towns and countries is more worthy of acknowledgement. And Father, we're so excited about what the Gideons are doing in places like Nicaragua and all over the world. And Father, we do take again this moment to pray for those individuals who are sacrificing time from family, from jobs, sacrificing vacation time Or they could be going and celebrating themselves. Instead, they're celebrating you and putting the Word of God in the hands of children and adults there so that their lives can be transformed by the power and love of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will just continue to be a church of prayer and a church of love. And that, God, we do our part in this part of Henderson County to bring it to knowledge and fullness of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, may we always know that we can turn to you whenever we feel scared or don't have the confidence, that we seek your Holy Spirit and that your Holy Spirit empower us with boldness and courage to share the truth in love and to share about how a relationship with Jesus Christ can make all the difference. We love you. We thank you for the food and the hands that have prepared it. And we do thank you, God, for all these blessings. It's in the name of your most wonderful and amazing Son, Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. Okay, I do ask that our guests be the first ones to go ahead and go in line. So, sorry guys, we know how you preachers can be sometimes, but we're going to let you guys go on first, okay? And then after that, everyone else can go. So thank you again, and we'll see you next Sunday.